Treacheries of the Space Marines. Bitter End by Sarah Corkwell. For many years, he had made bargains, accords and dark pacts, both with powers he could name and several more he dared not. He could not remember the last time he had merely requested something and the Imperium had provided it. In the days of his hated and enforced servitude to the Corpse Emperor, he had but to requisition something and it was his. Now, whenever he wanted something, Huron Blackheart simply reached out with the might of his loyal Red Corsairs, and he took it. His greedy, grasping claws closed around objects, people, and entire star systems, and stole them away. He looted and plundered. He stole and he murdered. Occasionally, though, he would come upon a treasure that he could not simply claim. When this happened, he would be roused from the shadows in which he now existed, and he would hunt down his quarry in an entirely different manner. He would sit down with agents of the most powerful and most influential, and he would talk. He would barter and negotiate, bringing his considerable charisma and cunning to the fore, and he would make more deals. His reputation preceded him wherever he went, and many wisely shied away from reaching any sort of arrangement with the tyrant of Badeb, fearing for their lives. But there were many more who boldly sealed their agreements with him in blood. Sometimes Huron Blackheart even kept his word. It had been an agri-world once, before an exterminatus had rendered it an uninhabitable wasteland. Its given name was lost to memory, leaving it only with the identifier bestowed upon it during the halcyon days of the Great Crusade. 8314. Nothing grew here anymore, and the only things that lived upon its surface were the most tenacious of bacteria. Its seas had boiled away, leaving vast expanses of arid ground that was cracked and blistered. The ferocity of the bombardment had broken open the crust and disturbed something deep in the planet's core. Now, volcanic lava bubbled up through the wounds in the earth and spilled across its ruined surface like blood. There was a constant smouldering heat haze that loaned everything a slightly distorted, unreal appearance. It was a prime example of an inhospitable environment, but the gigantic figures making their way across its broken surface were not in the slightest bit bothered by the poisoned air or the excruciating heat. They walked without tiring, keeping up a pace they could sustain for many days if they so desired. They had marched to war in this way many times, but on this day, there was no war to be had. This was a deputation sent to accompany their lord and master to a summit. Huron Blackheart walked in the midst of a half dozen of his Red Corsairs, his face alone exposed to the hostile environment. The countless implants and prosthetics that held his brain within what remained of his skull meant that wearing a helm caused him great discomfort, and it was such a laborious and time-consuming process to rewire his cranium to accept one that he viewed it more as a hindrance than a benefit. The complex wheezing workings of his replacement lungs and respiratory system filtered the atmosphere in much the same way as a helmet anyway, and thus the choking, sulfuric air had no effect on him at all. He could have made this journey alone, but had elected to field a show of strength. He was wily and astute, blessed with cunning and guile like no other, but he did not trust the individual with whom he was dealing. It had been a tedious process setting up this meeting. Dangasha had not been prepared to travel to Huron Blackheart's stronghold deep in the heart of the Maelstrom, and neither did the Blood Reaver care to board a ship almost entirely populated by warp witches. He had used sorcerers for his own ends before, of course. Indeed, it had been his own cabal that had suggested Dangasha as the best possible candidate for the task at hand. Increasingly heated exchanges had taken place until an impasse had been reached. Neutral ground was the only solution. Before a rocky outcrop overlooking the volcanic plains of a world that had once teemed with life, the Red Corsairs stopped. Before them, The shape of another giant could be made out, a baroque silhouette, picked out by the weak rays of sickly yellow sun, stood alone. One of Huron's retinue pointed upwards with the muzzle of a bolt gun, indicating the other's presence.
"I see him," Huron said simply. "I told you he would come."
A deep chuckle came from his ravaged throat.
He could not help himself.
Dangasha took no sobriquet in order to convey his greatness. It was not in his nature to embrace an honorific that extolled his deeds to the outside world. He was no despoiler or betrayer. He chose, instead, to let his actions speak for themselves. For centuries, he had stood at the head of the Heterodox, a cabal of sorcerers who, it was rumoured, had splintered centuries earlier from the word-bearers. Dangasha was said to have studied the heart of Chaos Undivided for more than 5,000 years, and as a result, his well of knowledge ran deep. There was nothing about Dangasha that suggested such great age. His visage was timeless, and its individual features unimpressive. He bore several scars on his face, but more numerous were the countless runes and brands that had been seared into his skin. They writhed and twisted now, under Huron's scrutiny, living things that spoke of a true disciple of the dark powers. He felt no discomfort in the sorcerer's presence. He was confident and fully at ease. The two space marines, the warrior and the psyker, had moved to meet one another within a cave in the rock face. Neva's attendant retinues were with them, as per the terms of their agreement. The cave had once been a natural wonder, the source of a wellspring that had kept the local agricultural workers provided with water. As high as a refinery tower within, it was studded with broken, jagged stalagmites and stalactites that glittered with seams of semi-precious rock. Here, high above the shattered plains, was the only moisture remaining anywhere on the planet. Now, the underground spring that had once nourished crops and quenched the thirst of thousands of imperial workers was a toxic sinkhole, steaming and roiling gently. Periodically, air would escape from a fissure and expand with a rush, spraying boiling water in all directions. It spattered against the armour of the two giants, who stood face to face. Neva gave ground or spoke for some time, and then the psyker broke the stalemate with a bitter greeting.
"Blood Reaver."
Huron greeted the sorcerer in kind, and they considered each other in silence a while longer. As their eyes locked, the sorcerer's head tipped slightly to one side. The master of the Red Corsairs felt the faintest brush of his mind as the other attempted a psychic evaluation. Dangasha's resultant sharp intake of breath brought a smile to Huron's lips.
"Difficulties, Dangasha? You are no psyker, yet you are warded. What is it that shields your mind from my sight? You should be wary of admitting that you seek to invade my thoughts without permission."
Huron's voice was grating and harsh, dragged from replacement vocal cords and a vox unit that had been tuned and returned until it sounded as close to human as could be achieved, which was not very close.
"You know my nature, Lord Huron. It is, after all, why you sought me out. Now answer my question."
Dangasha's words were demanding, yet his tone remained deferential. Huron approved of the approach.
"What is it that grants you this protection? Perhaps you should tell me what you have heard."
The question was thrown back at the sorcerer, who folded his arms across his chest.
"I have heard," he said, choosing his words carefully, "in rumour whispered throughout the eye, that the four favour you. You carry a boon they have gifted you. I have heard that something walks at your side and grants you certain benefits." "You are well informed," Dangasha took another sharp intake of breath, and Huron continued. "Does that surprise you, sorcerer? Do you taste envy? Are you curious as to why it is that the dark powers see fit to grant me such a gift? Look closely, Dangasha,
Tell me what you see.
The sorcerer considered the red corsair for a few moments. He looked the warrior up and down, a giant clad in desiccated red armor with so many augmetics and implants that he looked more like a blighted tech priest or engine seer than the scourge of the Imperium. The metal-plated head shook slightly, and a quirk of amusement twitched the lipless mouth.
Now, Dangashire, look properly. Use your witch sight.
The sorcerer looked, and he saw. The word Hamadryad had never been part of Huron Blackheart's vocabulary until the day he had been reborn. There had been many deals made in those few days when he had hovered in the grey mists that lingered between life and death. His body had been left all but useless in the wake of the Star Phantom's assault on the Palace of Thorns, and without the anchor of its corporeal weight, his soul had been free to wander at will. Nobody knew who or what he had consorted with in those days, but if the thought was never expressed aloud, all of the Red Corsairs knew that their lord and master had made some pact. He could not have survived otherwise, despite the ceaseless labours of his most faithful apothecaries. They could repair the physical damage to their chapter master's body, but that was all. But no one ever asked of the events that had transpired, and Huron Blackheart never volunteered the information. The Hamadryad had begun its life as a thought, a potentiality, a tendril of insubstantial warp stuff that draped itself invisibly across Huron's mantle. Over weeks, months, and years, it had become something more tangible. In its earliest stages, it was nothing more than a wisp, a curl of smoke in the air that lingered around the warrior's shoulders like a mist snake wrapping itself protectively around him. Huron himself seemed either oblivious or indifferent to its presence, but over time, he began to notice that he was developing a sensitivity and then a resistance to psychic intrusions. The more he realized this, the stronger the warding became, until eventually, the ethereal presence at his shoulder took on a more corporeal form. Sometimes it was reptilian, sometimes avian, other times simian, but always animalistic and never larger than the breadth of the warrior's shoulder span. Others could see it, but never for long. Most of the time, it could only be glimpsed briefly out of the corner of the eye, leaving the viewer wondering if they had seen it at all. It granted Huron Blackheart an extra layer of power, one that boosted his already overinflated sense of ego. But it had limitations. It was a creature of the warp, after all. The sorcerer looked, and he saw.
I confess, my lord, that I did not believe the rumours to be true, Dangashire confessed.
He had considered the tale of the familiar to be nothing more than a figment of the mad tyrant's overwrought imagination, yet his witch sight gave him a unique view.
I have never seen its like before. Is this what they call the Hamadryad? Indeed it is, and you would do well not to concern yourself further with its origins or its purpose. Consider instead the question my agent put to you.
Always quick to the point, Huron Blackheart did not care to linger on matters past.
Yes, Lord Huron, Dangashire bowed from the waist. I consider it a great honour that you seek my assistance in this matter. I understand that your blessing loses power, that it becomes weaker the further from the heart of the maelstrom you travel. In conjunction with your own cabal.
There was unmistakable superiority in Dangashire's tone as he said the word.
I have determined what you need to overcome this limitation. The Hamadryad is a thing of the warp, Huron said.
He drummed his fingers idly against his armor-plated thigh. The noise reverberated through the cavernous chamber, the acoustics oddly distorted.
It draws its strength from the powers therein, and the further from its source I travel.
He broke off and raised his head to study Dangashire.
My cabal have told me
what I need. A potent soul shackled by arcane powers. The Hamadryad can feed from its torment for all eternity, but my sorcerers, strong as they are, cannot do this one thing.
Huron's red, artificial eye whirred slowly as it focused upon the sorcerer.
Give me my solution, Dangashir, and we will share the spoils of war. You need a potent soul. I have found such a thing, Sister Brigitta, of the Order of the Iron Rose. I have heard of this order and of this woman, the self-proclaimed savior of her people, she who bears the sins of a generation upon her shoulders. I, one of the faithful, a powerful symbol. You need a suitable vessel. Such a thing will not be easy to locate, my lord. It could take many long months of searching.
You underestimate my resources, Dangashir.
Huron's twisted face distorted in a smile again, and he twisted a loop on his back, bringing an object slowly into view. It was exquisite. Deep emerald green in colour, it was a fusion of bottle and vial, with a wide lip tapering to a long, slim neck that fed into a small oval bowl. It was encased within beautiful fretwork, wrought from copper or brass or some other burnished metal that snaked around its delicate surface.
My cabal attached this vessel to my belt, said Huron. They told me that only another sorcerer could remove it, that if I were to touch it myself, the power would be tainted.
He shifted his hips slightly so that it was facing Dangashir, who snapped open the belt loop, taking the bottle in his hands. He could feel its imbued power, a thrum of psychic energy that made his hands vibrate gently as he held it. Huron stood at him.
On the understanding that you will give me what I ask for, I make a gift of this vessel to you, so that you may work whatever fell deeds necessary. Do you accept?
Gladly, my lord. Such an arcane item, such a relic, must have cost you dearly. Where did you locate it?
My sources are many and varied. Do not bother yourself with detail. Is it adequate for its purpose?
More than adequate.
Dangashir studied the bottle in admiration for a while, then with a series of hand movements caused it to disappear. It was little more than cheap theatrics and did nothing to change the expression on Huron Blackheart's artificial face.
This Sister Brigitta of yours will be heavily guarded, of course. I will need absolutely no distractions whilst I perform the binding.
Leave that side of the bargain to me, Master Sorcerer. My red corsairs will distract whatever pitiful forces guard her, and you will take your cautery and perform your rituals. You will present me with what I want, and in return, I shall give the Heterodox the world in her charge for your chapels and its people for...
He gave a creaking shrug.
Whatever you see fit.
His augmetic eye darkened briefly as though he blinked. A slow, thoughtful thing that was somehow unsettling.
Do we have an agreement? A world and its subjects, my lord, that is very generous of you.
Huron shrugged again.
My corsairs and I will still take what spoils we desire, but it is not beyond me to show gratitude and generosity. Now tell me, Dangashir of the Heterodox, do we have an agreement?
We do.
There were many who boldly sealed their agreements in blood. Dangashir of the Heterodox was one such individual. Sometimes, Huron Blackheart even kept his word. The temple burned. Since time immemorial, the Order of the Iron Rose had been cloistered within their monument to the Emperor of Mankind. A building of dazzlingly beautiful aesthetics, the temple had stood proudly within the well-guarded walls for countless generations. The Sisters of Battle lived their studious lives there quietly, only leaving in times of war when their fierce battle skills were most needed. Then, their comparative gentleness could easily be forgotten in the face of their roaring battle madness. Sister Brigitta was the incumbent canoness, but had always eschewed the title, preferring to remain on the same level as her sisters. She was dearly beloved by all who knew her. Intelligent and insightful, her words of wisdom on any number of subjects were treated as precious jewels to be collected and admired. She stood now, clad in her copper-coloured battle armour, her silver-flecked black hair streaming in the breeze. The armour forced her to stand upright with a grace and dignity that added weight to her command. Her jaw was tightened and her face bore an implacable expression as she stared down from the highest chamber of the staple at the slaughter taking place far below. Tears ran down her face, not of fear but of rage and regret that the sanctity of the temple had been violated. At either side, her two most trusted lieutenants also wept at the wanton destruction that rampaged below. They had come without warning. They had struck fast and without mercy. The loyal Palatine Guard who protected the sacred grounds had done an admirable job of holding the enemy at bay, but ultimately, they were only human. What did they have against the Adeptus Astartes? Sister Brigitta surveyed the carnage, seemingly endless forces of the giant space marines pitted against the pitiable wall of humanity. Delicate mortal flesh was the only thing standing between the chaos forces and the sisters. From here, she could not see the faces of the brave guardsmen dying in their futile efforts to protect the order, but she imagined that each shared the same look of zealous ferocity. The Order of the Iron Rose preached that fear made one weak and had no place on the battlefield. The barking reports of bolter fire filled the air, and the murderous whine of chain blades was all-pervading. The screams of the dying were agony to listen to, and the ground below was already running scarlet with the blood of the fallen. Some of the Chaos Warriors fell upon their victims, hacking and dismembering. The sight sickened Sister Brigitta. Beside her, Sister Anastasia murmured a soft litany, commanding the souls of the departed to the Emperor. "We must meet in the central chamber," the canoness said finally, tearing her eyes from the slaughter. "Gather the order, Sister Anastasia."
"Yes, sister."
Anastasia left immediately to carry out her superior's command. Brigitta stood for several moments longer, salt tears running down her weather-tanned face.
"The Order of the Iron Rose will stand to the last, traitors," she promised, raising her voice to be heard above the growing wind.
The Red Corsairs had dealt with the pathetic human threat in short order, even as the last guardsman died, pierced on the end of a chain blade. Huron Blackheart's warriors had turned their weapons on the temple walls and gates. They had been erected over the course of many years by master craftsmen and artisans, but what had taken humanity years to perfect and construct was levelled in minutes by four traitor marines and their multi-melters. The irony of that equation amused Huron Blackheart enough that he laughed out loud. He had accompanied his forces to the surface of this world, but had taken no part in the battle. He stood to one side with Dangesha and his cabal of sorcerers, watching with displaced indifference as his corsairs butchered their way forwards. Another direct hit on the wall finally reduced it to molten slag, a huge cloud of pale steam billowing outwards from the destruction and coating the armour of the warrior in a fine film of grit. The Red Corsairs did not wait for their master's order to proceed. They crossed the threshold of the sacred temple and met the second wave of defensive forces with renewed vigour. Dangesha walked forwards dispassionately, his cabal moving with him like a flock of birds flittering around their mother. Fighting independently, each warrior psyker was capable of incalculable destruction. Fighting as a unit, they were imbued with such power that no mortal man could look upon the forces of the warp flowing from them and hope to survive. Dark lightning flickered from fingertips, fire burst from the palms of their hands, and the very earth itself trembled where they trod.
The sheer raw power they exuded was tremendous, and Huron Blackheart watched their performance with something akin to hunger on his face. Three guardsmen were incinerated with a blast from Dangasha's fingers, their bodies catching fire as though they were nothing more than dead wood. They died in terrible agony, screaming and begging for mercy. Huron watched as their ravaged faces slowly melted like candles burning down to the taper. Another unfortunate soldier was caught in the mesmerizing stare of one of the heterodox and found himself unable to move. With a press of psychic power, the sorcerer burst the guardsman's brain like a ripe fruit. The man fell to his knees, blood and grey matter dribbling from his ears, before he pitched over, face first, into the dust. The wind had whipped up into a frenzy now, but this was no natural weather condition. This was the work of the heterodox, and the gusts carried maddening whispers, half-heard promises and dire threats. They blew from the very heart of the warp itself and plucked at the souls of men with ethereal claws. Some who were caught in their path went mad in an instant, hacking and slashing at phantasms only they could see or hear. Others stood their ground more firmly, litanies of warding on their lips. But each was slain. Each pitiful stalk was reaped. And the more death and destruction there was, the more powerful the cabal seemed to grow, until, with a feverish cry to the dark gods of chaos undivided, the heterodox unleashed the true horror of their collective. From without, the sounds of battle echoed. From within, the sisters of the order radiated a calm composure. A small order, barely 100 sisters of battle, had gathered together in the central chamber. They were all clad in armour similar to Sister Brigida's, although hers was burnished a copper hue, theirs a deep reddish bronze that glinted in the light cast by the candles on the walls. "Our time here is short, sisters," the canoness began, when she had Anastasia's assurance that all were present. "Our enemy has breached the gate, and they will soon dare to desecrate the most sacred inner sanctum of our beloved order." Brigida reached up as she spoke and braided her thick hair into a plait that hung like a rope down her back. None of the order would go into battle with their hair loose. It was an affectation, but an important one. Brigida's visual reminder of the very physical pre-battle preparations instilled focus amongst the gathered sisters. In the ensemble, others mirrored her action. "We will not stand by and allow that to happen. We will hold out against these intruders for as long as the Emperor gives us the strength to prevail. We will stand our ground until the bitter end. We fight the gravest of traitors, my sisters. We battle against fallen angels, traitor space marines, and they bring witchkin with them." A palpable ripple of dismay ran through the sisters. They had stood proud against countless enemies, aliens, cultists, even a preceptory of Sisters of Battle who had lost their way, and they had always triumphed. They had fought alongside Space Marines many times too, but the Order of the Iron Rose had never fought against them. Brigida raised a hand for silence, and she got it immediately. From outside the fortified walls of the temple, the muffled sounds of gunfire and terrible bloody death could be heard, filling in the pauses in her impassioned speech. "We are the beloved of the Emperor. We are the Sisters of the Iron Rose. We stand as a reminder that the flower of that name is protected by thorns. We will not allow these foul traitors to reach out and pluck us from existence without exacting our payment in blood first." She raised her bolter to her shoulder and cast her eyes around the assembled warriors. "We will make our stand in the rear courtyard. If we draw the traitor filth out into the open, they may exact less damage on our temple." It was likely a futile gesture, and most of the Order knew it, but they were words that encouraged her sisters. Brigida was under no illusions. The battle that was coming towards them would likely be the last thing any of them saw. But they would die as they had lived, defending the Emperor's legacy. The clouds above the temple boiled, swirling together in a dark mass of entangled horror. The wind was now a gale, screaming its unnatural elemental fury across the surface of the planet and whipping up the detritus from the fallen walls into plumed, choking columns. Lightning coruscated within the cloud,
and as it moved, it picked up dust and debris, including the corpses of the fallen. The chaos-driven maelstrom moved with almost agonizing slowness across the battlefield. Beneath it, the earth split and wept streams of tar and sulfur. Those who still stood were either knocked from their feet by the quaking of the ground beneath them, or they were caught up in the storm's passage and sucked, screaming, into its abyssal depths. From what remained of the temple walls, valiant surviving forces turned the defense guns on the Cabal, who stood as a pack, their hands raised, palms upwards to the skies that bubbled overhead. Each of the 12 was a perfect mirror image of the others. All wore horned helms, and their stance was arrogance itself. The armored turrets around the temple roared defiance, and one of the sorcerers was destroyed, his torso chewed apart by the stream of high-velocity shells. The Cabal did not change position, but, as one, their heads turned towards the weapons mounted on the wall. Dangasha made a slicing motion with his hand, and the wind changed direction and increased speed, moving with impossible haste towards its new target. Sister Brigida stood defiant amidst her battle sisters. She was a woman who had lived a life filled with devotion to the Emperor, who she loved every bit as much as she cared for every woman who stood around her. Their honour and courage now, in the face of overwhelming odds, was a reward unlike any other. From the youngest novice to Sister Anastasia, with whom she had fought in many engagements, she knew each one of them. She knew their life histories, she knew their hopes, and she knew their fears. She was no psyker, but you could not live your whole life within an order and not gain an insight into the souls of those around you. She loved her sisters, and though she knew she might die here today, she knew that love would strengthen her faith and her resolve to stand her ground. Her thoughts were wrenched back to the present as she heard the echoes of a crashing thump in the distance, the sound of weapons being brought to bear against the gate. "They come," she said, her voice low and soft, yet carrying such authority that every one of the order stood straighter. There was the sound of weapons being readied, of magazines being slammed into place, of swords being drawn from sheaths. There were overlaying voices murmuring litanies and prayers. Another sickening crump against the gate. "We will stand defiant," Brigida said, raising her bolter above her head. "Ave Imperator!" The battle cry was echoed, but it was drowned out by the sound of an explosion that blew in the ancient stained crystal windows as the enemy breached the gates. "Be ready! Hold firm! Do not doubt in yourselves for one moment! Trust to your sisters and trust to your blessed weapons! A morte perpetua! Domine! Libra nos!" Battle cries were torn from their throats, and 100 sisters of battle took up arms and prepared to make their stand. The maelstrom ripped the guns from their mountings, as though they were plants placed in dry soil. The guardsmen who had manned them were pulverized by the shrapnel from the destruction as the howling unholy winds ripped the turrets into nothing more than scrap metal. Mangled pieces of weaponry tore through their bodies, cutting them to ribbons, and in one young soldier's case, decapitating them. The spiraling morass of metal and ruined flesh added its mass to the storm, and above the temple the skies began to rain droplets of blood. At the final gate, Huron Blackheart's traitors had set melter charges against the armoured portal. The blocky devices clamped to the towering hinges with a metallic clang, and the corsairs withdrew. The bombs detonated with a wash of heat and an earth-shattering explosion that rocked the ground. Slowly, Dangashar's cabal ceased the link with their powers and the violent raging winds began to subside. The first obstacle had been overcome. The second, and their objective, lay beyond the devastated walls. The Chaos Sorcerer turned his helmeted head towards Huron.
"You must not kill her," he said through the vox bead in the tyrant's ear. "If she dies, her soul will be as good as useless to us. Do not let your barbarian horde rip the order apart without first isolating the mark."
A twitch of irritation showed on Huron's face.
"I am not completely without intellect, Dangasha."
The fingers that were wrapped around his massive battle axe tightened visibly. The sorcerer's face could not be seen, but Huron could sense his smirk.
I will be taking care of dear Sister Brigida myself. My sincerest apologies. I do not mean to imply that you were anything but knowledgeable in the ways of the warp, my lord.
Dangisha's sarcasm was biting, and Huron turned away from the sorcerer, cursing the necessity of their temporary association. It would be over soon. The Order of the Iron Rose would be obliterated, and he would take his prize. He comforted himself with the thought. In due course, his familiar would feast from a soul most worthy of its hunger. Striding across the courtyard, Huron surveyed the damage with an approving expression. What remained of the gate was barely recognisable as any sort of portal. Broken spurs of plasteel jutted in all directions, and the metal composite that had been mixed into the gate for reinforcement was little more than dust. Occasionally, more dust would fall in a pathetic clump from the walls either side of the entranceway. The Red Corsairs strode forwards, warriors with a clear objective and purpose. In the eyes of the Imperium, they were renegades, but they were still Space Marines, and the regimental mindset came easily to them, until the fighting started, at least.
"Listen to me, my Corsairs," said Huron, across the vox. "When we locate the Sisters, do not touch their leader. She belongs to me."
He addressed the entire group, but knew that not all of them would truly hear him.
"The toys we have dispatched thus far have been an easy enemy, and they will have sent out the word for aid. By the time that aid arrives, there will be nothing left but a smoking ruin."
The few scattered roars of approval drew a nod from Huron.
"What we will come up against in there will be more challenging, but do not falter. We come to take a prize that will make us even greater than we were. The Imperium of Mankind and their pathetic corpse emperor will rue the day they ever named us traitor."
There were grunts of acknowledgement across the board, some coherent, others less so. Just as his band of renegades was drawn from a vast number of different chapters, so their levels of sanity varied. Huron cared little for the butchers amongst his followers. They served a purpose in war, but when it came to more delicate matters, they were an encumbrance. Fortunately, he had enough sane followers to keep the borderline berserkers in check.
"Then we move with all haste to the final stage of our action here. Find the Sisters, kill those you must, but leave the Canoness alive."
Without further hesitation, the Red Corsairs streamed into the sacred temple of the Blessed Dawn. They rampaged through the temple without thought for preservation. Marble floors cracked and split beneath their heavy tread. Chain blades chewed through statuary and carvings alike, making firewood of huge portraits of sisters and saints. Some riches were left intact. Over the years, the Red Corsairs had all developed an eye for goods that would please their lord and master, for it was said that his collection of imperial relics was beyond compare. They would retrace their steps before they departed and gather up such treasures along with the weapons of the fallen. From them, that was the most valuable reward. Their plundering steps ultimately took them through the central chamber where the Sisters of the Order had recently gathered. Dangesha nodded approvingly.
"This will be a good place for the ritual," he said.
"Then you remain here, sorcerer, and make whatever preparation is necessary. We will seek out Sister Brigata and bring her to you personally."
Huron ran his tongue over his metal teeth in a parody of hunger. He swung his battle axe easily, and it chewed its way through a beautifully painted rendition of some long-ago battle in which the Sisters had been victorious. Its shredded remnants dangled to the ground, and the memory of the Great War was lost to no more than a single stroke. The first two Red Corsairs to throw open the heavy doors that led out to the courtyard were torn apart by incoming bolter fire. The Sisters of Battle had kept their weapons trained on the exit, and the moment it opened, they had pulled their triggers. The explosive rounds buried themselves in the armoured hides of the traitors and burst them apart in a storm of gore and ceramite shards. The bodies disintegrated messily, but their sacrifice brought those who followed enough time to bring their weapons to bear and return fire. Four sisters were thrown backwards, unbalancing several more. Before they were back on their feet, the Red Corsairs had flooded into the courtyard and the fight began in earnest. The Sisters of Battle were greater in number than the Red Corsairs, and their armour afforded them a degree of protection. But they were facing an undisciplined rabble whose tactics were unpredictable at best and unfathomable at worst. The Sisters held their position, clustered around the cannoness like a sea of bronze with a copper island at their centre. They formed a circle around where she stood on the rim of a fountain, crying out orders to her warriors. The initial firefight did not last long. At a word from the tyrant, the Red Corsairs pressed forward, chain blades whining, and began to cut their way through the serried ranks of women. The ring surrounding the cannoness grew tighter and smaller. The stink of ruined flesh and spent bolter rounds was strong in the air, and so much smoke rose from the detonations that it choked the courtyard with a fog of bloody vapour and facelline.
"Courage, sisters!"
Brigitte's voice was clear, like a bell sounding through the uproar.
"Remember your teachings. You tread the path of righteousness. Though it be paved with broken glass, you will walk it barefoot."
Brigida paused in the recital as she watched Sister Anastasia's broken body fall to the ground. A grief, unlike any she had ever known before, passed through her with a shudder. She summoned up every ounce of her considerable inner strength and brought her bolter to bear on the hated enemy. Her voice rose through the noise once again.
"Though it crosses rivers of fire, we will pass over them."
Her voice was strong and did not waver, but the strength of her armed guard was failing. Not through lack of zeal or fire. If she were to take any reward from this abysmal horror before her, it was that her beloved sisters died honourably and bravely, but through dwindling numbers. What had once been a ring several bodies deep now presented a barrier of barely a dozen of her sisters. A number of the traitor Red Corsairs had been felled, but their armour, stronger and more finely wrought than that of the Sisters of Battle, deflected more and protected them for longer. Brigida realised with a sinking heart that they were probably not even dead, that their enhanced physiology would aid their recovery, and that they might rise to fight another day. She despised them for it. She loathed their continual existence. To her mind, they represented the worst kind of faithless traitors the Imperium could have conceived. She abhorred them for tearing apart the temple, her home, the place where she had grown from a teenage girl to womanhood. She was bleeding. Brigida tasted for the first time in her life a tremor of fear. It was seasoned with the coppery taste of her own blood as she bit her lip hard enough to put her teeth through the delicate skin. The flavour of her own mortality gave her enough strength to complete her fervent prayer.
"Though it wanders wide, the light of the Emperor guides me. Ah, step!"
She slammed a fresh magazine into her bolter and let out a screaming roar of battle rage, unleashed her full fury at the encroaching enemy. At her feet, dead and dying sisters spilled blood and viscera across the courtyard stones. The image of their defeat burned itself onto her retinas and branded hatred on her heart. Tears of anger and terrible, terrible grief blurred her vision, but she did not, she would not falter. Not now. She continued to fire her bolter into the enemy, no longer caring whether she hit them or not. It became an act of sheer venomous loathing. After a few short moments, she became aware that outside her immediate sphere of awareness, the sounds of battle had ceased. Only one weapon continued to fire, and that was hers. It did not detract from her focus, however, and she poured ammunition at the enemy until the last bolter shell clattered to the floor. One of the enemy, bare-headed and terrible, moved from the pack to stand before her.
"You are Sister Brigida of the Order of the Iron Rose," he stated.
It was not a question. She looked up into his inhuman face and drew in a rasping breath. She had seen unhelmed space marines before and was used to their exaggerated features. But this creature who stood before her was so far removed from anything even remotely human that she felt, against her will, the urge to scream in incoherent contempt. A poisonous air of evil came from him, and she felt sick to her stomach. She began to quickly recite litanies of faith to herself, never once taking her gaze from this augmetic monstrosity. She never confirmed nor denied the accusation of her identity, but instead ripped the combat blade from its sheath at her side and struck at the traitor's throat. Blackheart sighed wearily before catching her wild lunge on the back of his claw. Then, with excruciating care, not wanting to kill her outright, he backhanded her into unconsciousness. She was like a rag doll in his arms, limp and lifeless. And as he carried Sister Brigida into the chamber, Huron Blackheart marvelled, as he always did, at the papery inefficacy of the human body. He wondered how it was they had any resilience without the enhancements that he shared with all his gene-bred brothers. Brigida's face, where he had struck her, was distorted. He had fractured her cheekbone at the very least. The purple bruising was swelling up around her jaw. Her braided hair had come loose and hung freely down. Dangesha turned to study them. He had removed his helm, and Huron was struck once again by the wriggling sigils that marked the sorcerer's face.
"You did not kill her?" "She is merely unconscious. Allow me a little credit." "Then lay her down next to the vessel, and I can begin the ritual."
Already Dangesha had made the preparations for the rite that would bind the potent soul to the cursed vial. The green bottle lay on its side, an innocuous and inanimate object. Around the chamber, Dangesha had marked out a number of unreadable symbols, each one drawn at the point of what formed the eight-pronged star of chaos. Members of his cabal stood at seven of the points, the topmost remaining free, and evidently awaiting Dangesha's leisure. Huron moved forwards and dumped Brigida's body without any ceremony on the ground, where the sorcerer indicated. He noted as he did so that the sigils drawn on the floor were marked in blood, most likely that of the dead soldiers.
"You should not step outside of the borders of the mark, my lord. Once we channel the powers necessary to perform the binding, they will be potent."
From beyond the broken walls of the temple, the distant sounds of shouting could be heard. The assistance that the temple guards had called for was finally arriving. Huron nodded to several of his warriors, who moved wordlessly out of the chamber.
"They cannot be allowed to enter this place whilst I am working. The balance of this work is delicate." "My men will keep them away."
Huron took several steps back.
"Trust to their abilities to do that. I, however, will remain." "As you wish."
Huron Blackheart had witnessed many rituals of this kind in his life, but he had never seen one driven with such determination and single-minded focus. He watched Dangesha closely as the sorcerer moved back to take his place at the tip of the star and listened intently to the words that he recited. It did him little good, as the sorcerer spoke in some arcane tongue that Huron did not understand, though the inflection was clear. The seven other members of the Heterodox echoed his words, one at a time, until the chant was being repeated with a discordant, impossible-to-follow rhythm. The sound grew and swelled, and all the while there was the underscore of the battle taking place beyond the temple walls. A thick black substance, like tar from a pit, began to bubble up in the space marked out by the points of the star. It rose upwards, never spilling over the edge of its limits, and coated first the bottle and then the unconscious Sister Brigida in a film of inky blackness. Dangashi's chant became almost musical, as though he was singing. His eyes were fevered, and his expression one of pure ecstasy. As the thick, gelatinous substance became more and more viscous, Brigida stirred from her unconsciousness. Realizing that she was being smothered, she opened her mouth to cry out. The fluid rushed into her mouth and she began to choke on it, writhing desperately on the floor as she struggled to breathe. Dangesha stepped forwards from his position and moved to stand above her. Huron watched, leaning forward ever so slightly. This was it. This was the moment. He had made countless pacts and agreements to reach this point, and so had his followers. This was the point at which it would all pay off, or the point at which it would fail. Outside, the sounds of gunfire had stopped, but the Chaos Sorcerer paid no heed. Dangesha looked down at the wriggling human woman with a look of total contempt, then reached to take her arm firmly in his grip. He guided it to the glass vial and placed her free hand upon it, wrapping his gauntlet around her tiny hands. He then spoke the only words that Huron could understand.
Be forever bound.
The oily liquid began to slowly ebb away, draining until all that remained was the faintest slick on the ground. Brigitter, who was in tremendous pain and almost frozen with terror, stared at the green vial, then up at the sorcerer. Summoning every ounce of strength and fortitude she possessed, she spat in his face. Dangasha began to laugh, a hateful, booming sound that bounced around the walls of the chamber and resonated across the Vox network. Then, abruptly, the laughter stopped. A look of utmost dread crept slowly over Dangasha's face. His fist, which had been ready to crush Brigetta's skull, suddenly opened out flat. His face slackened, his posture changed, and he slouched suddenly as though wearied. Huron smiled at him.
What is this treachery?
The sorcerer spun around to face the tyrant of Bad Ebb, who stood watching him with an air of amusement.
What have you done, Blackheart? Ah, Dangasha, your fate was sealed the moment you took the vial from me. You were quite right. I needed a potent soul, and my sorceress found me one. Yours, in fact. And now, with the ritual of binding complete, your soul and the vial are united. You quite literally belong to me. This is not possible. There is no way you could have. Your sorcerers are nothing compared to the glory of the Heterodox. Arrogance has been the downfall of many a warrior of the Adeptus Astartes over the millennia, brother. My sorcerers may not be as powerful as you and your former cabal, but they are far more cunning.
Seemingly bored of the conversation, Huron began to move around the chamber, occasionally turning over the body of a fallen warrior with his booted foot. He picked up a bolt gun, empty of ammunition, and dropped it back down with a clang. Dangasha's face was fury itself, and he reached out to the powers of the warp, but none of them answered him. His black, tainted soul was no longer his to command. He looked to each of his cabal in turn, and for their part, they turned from him.
You all knew of this? He stated flatly. You betrayed me to this cur? Come now, Dangasha, if you seek to wound my feelings, you will have to try a lot harder than that.
Huron stooped and picked up a melter gun.
My agents have been dealing with your cabal for months. They agree that their prospects with me and my corsairs are more interesting than a lifetime of servitude under your leadership. It has been vexing, true, but I think you will agree that the ultimate reward is well worth it.
On the ground, Sister Brigida was listening to the exchange without understanding it. All she knew was that these two traitors were speaking such heresy as was almost unbearable to be party to. Dangasha stared at Huron's back with a look that could have killed, and perhaps once, before his soul had been plucked from his body, could have done.
You see, Dangasha, in a way, my promise to you is truth. Now that your Heterodox are part of my corsairs, they will help themselves to the spoils of this world. You, however...
The tyrant of Bad Ebb crossed the distance between them with uncanny speed and fired the melter gun at the sorcerer. His head was vaporized, and seconds later, what remained of his body crashed to the ground. Brigida gazed up at Huron, and there was a look of serene understanding on her face. Her doom had come, and it was clad in the desiccated armour of the Imperium of Man.
My faith is my shield, she said softly. The words rang hollow in her ears.
No,
said Huron, equally softly, as one of the claws of his hand tore through her breast and skewered her. He raised her to eye level.
It is not, and it never was.
She let out a sigh as she died and slid free from his claw to the floor below. Without looking at the two corpses at his feet, Huron reached up and plucked the vial from the ground, reattaching it to his belt. Sometimes, Huron Blackheart kept his word, but this was not one of those times. He did not care who he betrayed to reach his goals. Loyal servants of the Imperium or those who served the dark gods of Chaos
It made little difference to him. The end always justified the means.
"Take what we need," he said, "and then we leave. It worked perfectly."
"Surely you did not doubt that it would, my lord?"
Valthex turned the vial over in his hand before handing it back to Huron.
"The curse worked exactly as you said it would. Thanks to your efforts, my familiar now has the strength it needs to grant me the blessing of the four beyond the maelstrom. Well done, Arminius."
"I live to serve, Blood Reaver."
Valfex dropped a low, respectful bow, and Huron stalked away. Straightening himself up, the alchemancer absently rubbed at a sigil branded into the skin of his hand. It was not just the tyrant who made pacts. The patriarch would have to wait to see when he would be called upon to deliver his side of the bargain. Thanks for watching, everybody. I hope you weren't too disturbed by the female voices. I did my best. More coming soon. If you'd like to support the channel, like these grand gentlemen here have, then please follow the links below. Really appreciate that. Otherwise, if you wouldn't mind giving this video a like, subscribe if you're not subscribed, and remember to hit the bell so you get notified when I do videos. See you next time. Cheers.